Hello, my name's Theodore Turner. The date today is 4/27/2020, and we are going to be primarily talking about the crucifixion events and how Peter related to those. But before we talk about the crucifixion events and how Peter related to those, I want to talk to you about what Jesus said was going to happen towards the end of the world. And before I even mention that to you, I want to talk to you about one more thing. If you're really a Christian, then you don't need to worry about things, because 500 years from now, you'll still be here. You'll be able to sit down in heaven at a bench on the side there and put your feet down and watch all the people down here, just like you would if you were at the Grand Canyon. As the Bible does say, we'll see as we are seen. But we'll be here 500 years from now. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be somewhere else. I don't care where the somewhere else is. I don't want to be there. I want to be in heaven. I know some churches teach there's purgatory, then there's a hell. I just want to set my sights on heaven, and that's where I'm going to set my sights. So today, I want you to do the same thing. If you're a little bit in doubt as to whether you're a Christian or not, just say this prayer. It's like getting a driver's license. When you go down and get your driver's license, and you fill out the paperwork, and then you take the test, and you do what they tell you to do, and you pass the test, you get your driver's license. When you ask Jesus into your heart, He's in your heart. And unless you go out and do some very horrible thing, you're going to go on and just be a Christian, and you're going to go on to heaven. And even if you did some horrible thing, you can, 1 John 1:9, you've got that. It says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today I want you to do this. Say this prayer with me, just to make sure you're saved. There's many different types of prayers, but this one will work just fine. I repent of all my sins of any type, Jesus. I believe You died on the cross and rose again the third day for my sins. Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart and save me today. And Jesus, fill me with Your Spirit and Your guidance for all of my life. Jesus, I will confess Your name before men, and I will get baptized when I have a chance. All right, now before we go anywhere else, once you've said that prayer, you have your license to go into heaven, just the way you'd have a driver's license. Now, it says that you'll be rewarded according to your works, but you don't get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven by accepting Jesus Christ, and it's because of God's mercy that you're forgiven, because Jesus' blood covers our sins, and because His grace, He gives us a chance to just to come into heaven and be part of the rest of the group up there and see all of our relatives, and you get to see your grandma and your aunt and all those people that you loved, and then you'd be able to be up there forever for thousands of years. There's probably a lot of things you can do there. It talks about the golden streets, and it talks about a big place where Jesus meets, and there's people there or beings there that have eyes all around, and there are angels and stuff like that. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But before we get there, there's going to be some problems. And this is Luke 21:17. In this last part of this chapter here, Jesus is talking about some of the things that are going to happen before the world actually climaxes into a terrible nuclear war or all kinds of things that may happen. But the first thing is before that happens, people are going to start wanting to kill other Christians. In Luke 21:17 it says, and these are the things Jesus said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Luke 21:18 says something that's hard to accept, but since we believe we're going to be here for 500 years, you can understand this. Luke 21:18 says, Jesus said, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. Luke 21:19, and your patience possess your souls. Luke 21:20. Here's something to watch for. Luke 21:20, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then you shall know that desolation thereof is nigh. Luke 21:21, let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. It's going to be a bad place when they start fighting over Jerusalem. And you can see this a little bit happening all the time. You see a little bit of this going on all the time, getting closer and closer to this. Luke 21:22, it says, for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Luke 21:23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. Luke 21:24, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. Now you ask, how could Jesus say not a hair of our head will be damaged back in the other verse? Well, it's because we're going to live 500 years, and even if we're killed down here, or if we're died by a plague like the one that's going around now called the coronavirus this year in 2020, whatever the case is, we're not really dead. Our spirit goes on to heaven and we get a brand new body. And I'm totally convinced that's true. My wife and I have seen all kinds of miracles in our life, and I'm used to not even be a solid Christian, and I am now, and I used to be addicted to things, and God has delivered me, and I'm very much believing that God's up there, and He is going to let me come up to heaven someday, and I'll be there forever, and I'll be able to sing and praise Him and thank Him for everything. So there's a lot of scary things that are going to happen. Luke 21:25 says, there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring. You know, recently we've heard of all these great tornadoes and things, and how it seems to be that worse things are happening, and how the weather's changing and stuff like that. Well, I think we're just on the edge of what's going to happen in the future, where it talks about here the sea and the waves roaring. Luke 21:26, it says, men's heart failing for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. People are going to be so fearful. See, here's an interesting one to look at. Luke 21:26, men's heart failing them for fear. We should all learn this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And if you study this a little bit, you find that spirit of fear, it's basically can be interpreted dread. So you could say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, which is dread, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So you're going to see men's hearts failing. But if you trust in God and know that He's there, and even if you're killed here, you go to heaven, and many of us will not die here. But you certainly don't want to get left behind after God takes all the Christians to heaven. So you need to make sure you're a Christian and do what you can to make sure of that. Luke 21:27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Luke 21:28, and these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Luke 21:28, and when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:29, and he spake unto them this parable. And I'm going to explain that. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Now before I read the rest of the verses, I want to explain something. He's talking about when this plant grows, and it grows a little more and a little more. He's going to, I believe, in my understanding, he's talking about the evil that's going to grow against us. So here's the parable of the fig tree and how that plant grows. And I believe that plant represents the evil that's growing into this world. It's like little shoots just growing, roots, spreading their roots out all over this world. And it's going to happen. Okay, now here we go. Luke 21:29, and he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. Luke 21:30, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer's nigh at hand. Luke 21:31. So likewise, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Luke 21:32. Verily, I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Luke 21:33. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Luke 21:34. He warns us again. This is about making sure you're a Christian and making sure you pray. Because in another verse, Jesus told the apostles, he said, why did you go to sleep when I was trying to pray? We're going to talk about this later. He said, if you go to sleep and you don't pray, you're just going to have trouble with temptations. And we'll talk about that a little later. Luke 21:34, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day comes upon you unawares. You don't want to just get up one morning and find out there's a big giant war going on everywhere and they're out grabbing the Christians and taking them to jails and stuff like that. You need to take heed so you know what's going on. You need to pray and make sure you're right with God, because many times God has delivered his people out of this, but he doesn't promise to do that now. But for all you know, you may get delivered out of it, or you may find a cleft in the rock you can hide in. Luke 21:35 says, for as a snare shall it come upon the earth to them that dwell on the face of the earth. The snare is like a mousetrap. They don't know what's coming. They just go up there and they get the cheese, and that trap clamps down on them, and then someone takes them out and puts them in the trash. And that's what he's saying. You need to pray. Ask God to help you. Make sure you're praying every day, even if it's just for a few minutes. Make sure you pray. And if you have time, read your Bible. Try to read at least a chapter a day if you can. If you can't do that, open your Bible and just read as much as you can that day. And then just put it down and mark it in near where you stop so you can continue reading. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. I believe this verse right here is the tip of a mountain of our protection. 21:36, Luke 21:36. Listen to what Jesus said. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Luke 9:56, I'm going to go back just a little bit. Jesus said something, because people nowadays are trying to say, well, maybe God sent this sickness. I don't believe God did send this sickness. I believe he knew it was going to happen, and he knew someone was going to either create it or catch it from some animals. But Luke 9:56 says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. And he was to save them. He was talking to some people where they were going to go on to another village, and it says, and they went to another village. But it clearly says in Luke 9:56, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Jesus was not here to destroy people's lives, and I don't believe he has anything to do with this sickness that's going around right now either. Now I'm going to go on, and we're going to talk about the crucifixion of Jesus right now that we finished talking about what Jesus said before all these things are going to happen. I want you to say this prayer again and listen to a couple of verses I want to tell you about before I quit on this part. Say this prayer. Jesus, I admit I am a sinner. Jesus, I repent of all my sins of any type, whether sins of omission or sins of commission. Any sin, I repent of them all. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose again the third day for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me today and fill me with your Spirit and guidance for all my days. I will confess your name before men, and I will get baptized when I have a chance. If you said this prayer today, you're in good standing with God right now. And this is the first part of a message where we're going to talk about this, and we're going to talk about the crucifixion and how Peter reacted during the crucifixion. In Luke 22:1, it talks about how people were hating the Christians back then. It says, "Now the feast of the unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people." As we can see, Jesus is in the same boat we're in. They were trying to kill him, and they were planning on killing him. And then Satan gets involved. Then Luke 22:3 says, "Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12." Luke 24:22-4, "And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how they might betray him unto them." Luke 22:5, "And they were glad and coveted to give him money." Luke 22:6, "And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." Now see, he wanted to do this against Jesus, but he didn't want all the people to see him. So it says here he was going to do it in the absence of the multitude. So after Judas went and he made this deal with the priests, the Passover was coming. And Luke 22:7 says, "Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed." Luke 22:8, "And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." Luke 22:9, "And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare?" See, Jesus knew all things. He knew where they could go and what they could do. He knows everything. Jesus was God incarnate. And I'm going to stop here for just a second about how does he know where all this stuff's going to happen? In John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men." And it says in another place, "Not anything was made on this earth that wasn't made by Jesus." Not anything made anywhere wasn't made unless it was made by Jesus. Jesus actually made all this stuff. He is, God's the invisible God, and Jesus is the physical and visible representation of what God is. So he knows where he could send these people without even looking. In fact, one time, two people were healed just when they talked to Jesus, said someone at their house was sick. He didn't even have to go there. It wasn't like he had some medicine he gave them or something. They just asked him to pray for their sick family or sick people at their household, and Jesus said, "Okay, they're healed." Luke 22:10, "And he said unto him, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in." Luke 22:11, "And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, and where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?" Luke 22:12, "And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." Some of us wonder where the upper room was. And Jesus already knew that they were going to know where there's an upper room. And it says it's a large upper room furnished, like a conference room or something, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word. Or like maybe a meeting, church meeting place. Luke 22:13, "And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." Luke 22:14, "When the hour was come, he sat down with the twelve apostles with him." You can just see it, this big table, like that picture you see on the wall about Jesus at the Last Supper, but this is the Passover. He's sitting there with the 12 apostles, and they're all talking, and the food is being put on the table, and the drinks are bringing, and they're getting their drinks. And Luke 22:15, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Jesus knew something was going to happen to him, and he knew it was going to happen, and they didn't like hearing that. Luke 22:16, "For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Luke 22:17, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. So he handed the cup to them." You can see that they're handing it around. and they're drinking the first part. In Luke 22:8, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And this is where God starts explaining about the Last Supper and some other things. And Luke and communion. Luke 22:19, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body for which is given to you. This do in remembrance of me. And likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Luke 22:21, "And behold, the hand that betrayeth me is with me on this table." And that got everyone's attention. They start thinking, am I the one that's going to betray Jesus? Who's going to betray me? And they're all sitting around looking at each other. You know, have you ever been somewhere and someone says, hey, someone stole my wallet? And you know that they're looking around at everyone in the room. Well, that's how this probably was. They're all looking around. Luke 22:21, he says, "Behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Luke 22:22, "And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto the man whom he has betrayed." Luke 22:23, "And they began to inquire among themselves." They're getting worried about this. Luke 22:23, "And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that would do this thing." Luke 22:24, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." First of all, they're wondering who's going to deny him and who's going to turn him in. And now they're wondering who's going to be the greatest. Doesn't that sound like some of us? We get so distracted and led away by other things we want to do, maybe our hobbies and stuff like that, we completely forget about what's going on that's so important. Luke 22:25, "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority over them are called benefactors." Sounds like business people. Luke 22:26, "But ye shall not be so, for he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, let him be as the serve." Luke 22:7, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? He that sitteth at meat, but I am among them that serveth." And see, Jesus right there said he serves things. He gives us things. Like a server that serves at a table. Luke 22:28. Yet are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Luke 22:29. "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me." Can you imagine that? Jesus is saying he's appointed them unto a kingdom. They're going to be part of a kingdom. I mean, it's not like a nation on this world. It's going to be a kingdom. Luke 22:30. "That ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." These were the apostles he's talking to. But all these things happen to regular disciples too, like the rest of us too. Luke 22:31, or many of these things will, but they're special because they were picked first. Luke 22:31, "And he said, Simon, Simon." Can you imagine if you're sitting there and someone calls your name twice, and you think, oh my goodness, what did I do now? Well, here's what happened with Peter, Simon Peter. Luke 22:31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Can you imagine that? The Satan wants to just tear Peter up. He wants to leave nothing left of him. It's like running him through a shredder. They didn't have those back then, so he didn't say that. But Satan wants to have him so he may sift him as wheat. Luke 22:32, "But listen to what Jesus says. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren." Look at this. Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. He was going to sin in some way. And he said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he also knew that Peter had the ability to help his brethren. In Luke 22:33, you can see how Peter was so pious, and he thought he couldn't do anything wrong. And here's what he said in Luke 22:33. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee into both in prison and to death. Luke 22:34, and Jesus is talking here. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that you knowest me. Luke 22:35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without a person, a scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must be accomplished. And he has reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. Then they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. You know, sometimes we think we need weapons, and in this case, Jesus let them have some weapons. But I think when it really comes down to it, we have to pray that God will just help us to avoid the fires that go on and the bombings and all this stuff, and we won't have to have that many weapons. But it doesn't mean you can't have any, because he let some people there have them. Luke 22:39, and he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. Now see, he's telling them that they need to pray, and they need to pray that they won't enter into temptation. Luke 22:41, and he was withdrawn them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Luke 22:24. This is interesting, because Jesus wasn't totally happy about this situation of going to the cross, and he said in Luke 22:42, saying, Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22:43, and there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Luke 22:45, and when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them in Luke 22:46, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We're going to finish this by talking about what happened today when Judas showed up. Luke 22:47, while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus and kissed him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Me with a kiss? Not many people think right now, at this verse, Jesus was giving Judas a chance to repent for what he was going to do. When he says, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? See, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And he sort of gave Judas a chance to repent, but Judas didn't, you'll see. Luke 22:49, and when they were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And Luke 22:50, and one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? He wasn't a thief, and he was asking them, why are you coming out like this, like I'm some criminal? Luke 22:53, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is the hour and the power of darkness. Remember, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We all need to prepare ourselves to go to heaven someday. And be prepared for this. In the next one, message and Bible study that I do, we're going to talk about how Peter denies Jesus 3 times.